And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers, sisters in Christ, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. It seemed unbelievable. Paul, who had watched the cloaks of the men who'd stoned Stephen to death, Paul, who had arrested Christians wherever he could find them, Paul, the learned Pharisee who knew all the traditions and teachings of the fathers, this Paul was now playing for the other side. Paul threw away his reputation, his status, his worldly gain, his comfort, all in order to claim the name Christian and to proclaim Jesus as Lord in Christ and to bring the gospel to the nations. It made no sense. His conversion could not have been more profound, unexpected, or mysterious. And it inspired hatred. He was considered a traitor, a betrayer of the Torah by the Jewish authorities. And shortly after his conversion in Damascus, there was already a plot to kill him. But Paul's conversion is great good news. For the Lord Jesus, who knocked Paul off his horse as he rode up to Damascus, knocks us off our proverbial horses as well, so that we might be turned and redeemed. In fact, Paul, in reflecting on his conversion, told Timothy, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example of those who were to believe in him for eternal life." Put crudely, what Paul was noting was simply that if Jesus took him in, Jesus would take anyone. And that is good news indeed. Now, as we reflect on Paul's conversion, we do well to consider conversion in general and what it is exactly, how it takes place, and what does it mean for how we live. It turns out the conversion is also foundational to the Christian life, just like confessing Jesus as Christ or realizing that he is right, or sensing that there's something deeply wrong with the world and with ourselves. For no one comes to Christ unless she or he is converted. In both the Greek and the Hebrew, the words that get translated as convert or conversion simply mean to turn around. And in context, they always mean getting turned or turning back to the Lord. One had been heading away from God, heading away from his life and his light, his gifts and his grace, and then bam! You get turned around, converted. And you can see that this is closely related to repentance and to rebirth. Everything gets changed. Nothing is the same anymore. You find that you've died and been raised to new life. Now, for Paul, the conversion was the soul-shaking realization that Jesus not only lived, but that he was and he is God. And that he identified with his church so that attacking Christians was to attack Christ, to attack God. And things do not go well for those who throw down against God. Paul knew that. And yet it was not Jesus' purpose to destroy Paul. Jesus came to him to convert him, just as Jesus comes to us to convert us. And how does this happen? Well, you all know the catechism. I cannot, by my reason and strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified me, and kept me in the true faith. Paul on his own couldn't believe in Jesus. And you and I don't have the capacity for it either. Faith needs to be formed in us, created in our hearts, given to us so that we might see and know Jesus as our Savior from sin and death. And the Holy Spirit does that with the gospel. The good news that proclaims God's mercy to us fallen men and women in and through Jesus. Jesus is the one who became incarnate, who lived, who died, who rose the third day, and has ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's the one who forgives, makes us righteous, brings us to the Father. He seeks us, he finds us, he turns us. In him we are born again and know that the Father now calls us his beloved children. And being converted, we are turned to see the fullness of God's love and grace in the face of Jesus, who calls each of us by name, who washes us and feeds us and leads us. As for what conversion means for our lives, well, we live, we see, we think, we speak differently. Everything's been changed for us. Now, it may not be quite as dramatic as it was for St. Paul, who counted all that he previously had as rubbish in the light of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ and being found in him and receiving the righteousness that comes by faith. But our conversions still do mark a break with all that was ours according to the flesh. Now, what was ours according to the flesh that we had from Adam and Eve was selfishness and pride, lust and greed, envy, enmity with God, strife with those around us. We were born into death with no hope, and left to ourselves, we thought we were fine. We didn't want God coming in and messing everything up. Yet God in Christ came anyway and spoke the gospel to us and gave us his Holy Spirit and made us all new. Which means that now we must say no to envy, to greed, to anger, to selfishness, pride, and lust. Now we must let God lead and guide us. Now we must give up contentions with others and put on the grace that we have received. We've been given a purpose and a promise that shapes how we live. For by being turned to God in Christ, we are turned to his light, his truth, his life. And we are given to share that with the world around us, whether at home or in church or in the civil realm. Now, there are so many voices out there that would call us away from what we are turned to in Christ, be they found in politics or the culture, entertainment, work, recreation, what have you. So much in this world wants to cover over the light, deny the truth, and seek life apart from God. And yet there is no light, no life, no truth apart from God. And in Christ, you and I, we are turned and we are forgiven, we're made new. And that's the heart of the good news, that God forgives sinners, that he takes what is dead and gives it life. He takes what is unholy and makes it holy. He takes the lost and shows them the way. Jesus came to save sinners, whether it be Paul or you or me. So let us rejoice. Having been converted and reborn and made new, let us live as those who know Christ and his righteousness and the promise of eternity. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.